Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Aleph. And we begin 5 lines from the top, Chof Aleph, Omer Aleph.
And we're going to have a story, an interesting story that happened regarding Sveika Dioma. Interesting question regarding, is Sveika Dioma always the same? There are different places where the Shluchim may be able to reach during certain times of the year, but not be able to reach during other times of the year. For example, in the month of Tishrei, the Shluchim that are coming out from the Beis HaMikdash to announce when the new moon was, when Rosh Chodesh was, when Rosh Hashanah was, so they can't travel in Rosh Hashanah, they never can travel on Shabbos, and they also can't travel on Yom Kippur. So they're going to be limited in how far they can go, as opposed to when they're declaring the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan, so they're allowed to travel on Rosh Chodesh, and it's only Shabbos that they can't travel before they get to the Yontif of Pesach. So therefore, the Shluchim will be able to go to a further place for the month of Nisan, for Pesach, then they would be able to go for Sukkot. So do we say that there's a discrepancy in where you hold Sveika Dioma? That's the question we start off with in 5 lines on the top, Chof Aleph, Omud Aleph. Machers of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan made an announcement. He told everybody, Kol Hecha, Dematu Shluchei Nisan, V'lomatu Shluchei Tishrei, Li'abdu Trei Yome. He says, wherever the Shluchim are in fact going to be in different locations where they can get to. For Nisan, as I mentioned, as Rashi points out, there is more of an ability to travel because the only day that they can't travel is on Shabbos. There is no Rosh Hashanah and there is no Yom Kippur. So the Shluchim would be able to travel further in the month of Nisan than they would be able to travel in the month of Tishrei. So some places that are requiring every single day to travel except for Shabbos, the Shluchim could hit in Nisan, but they wouldn't make it to that place in Tishrei. So Rav Yochanan announced, and he says, regardless of the fact that the Shluchim can make it there in the month of Nisan, but since they can't make it there in the month of Tishrei, so even for Nisan, they have to presume Sveika Dioma. And that's what he tells us. Gezeira, we make Gezeira Nisan, not to Tishrei. We make that you have to hold 2 days in Nisan, even though they could get there in Nisan, because they won't be able to get there in Tishrei. And people can say, there's no such thing as Sveika Dioma in our place. We only hold 1 day of Pesach, so we're also going to hold 1 day of Sukkot. And that could lead to problems, because for Sukkot, they really would have to hold 2 days because the Shluchim didn't get there. So therefore, Rav Yochanan made a pronouncement, a public announcement, and he said, we hold 2 days. If they can't reach there all the time, so then you always hold 2 days, even if they were able to get there this time. And a Maisa Shohaya with his Talmidim, Rabbi Evo Bar Nagore, the Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, these two Amorayim were Talmidim of Rav Yochanan. And one time, they came to a certain place. They went to exactly such a place. The Shluchim could make it there in Nisrei with a little bit of extra time to travel and weren't able to make it there in the month of Tishrei because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they couldn't travel. So what did this town do? This town, Abdechad Yoma, they made 1 day for Pesach and they made 2 days for Sukkot. Now, Rav Yochanan had said, you're not allowed to do that. So when his Talmidim came there, one would have expected his Talmidim to protest. However, v'lo amru lehu v'lo midi. These two Talmidim, Rabbi Ivu bar Nagari and Rabbi Chia bar Abba, they didn't say boo. They didn't protest. So Shama Rav Yochanan heard that his Talmidim were there and they didn't protest. V'ikbet, he was upset that his Talmidim didn't protest. Amru lehu, he said to them, lav amri lehu, haven't I taught you a couple of times? Hecha d'matu shluchei nisav l'matu shluchei tishrei li'adu trei yomeg zeri nisav l'adu tishrei. This is exactly my din. You should have spoken up on my behalf. I publicly paskin that was machriz, that unless the Shluchim make it there even in the month of Tishrei, so then, despite the fact that the Shluchim made it there in Nisan, but if they don't make it there in Tishrei, those towns that situation applies to have to hold Sveika Dioma even in Nisan when they know for a fact what day Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. So he was upset at his Talmidim for not sticking up, so to say, for his opinion. Next, Rava, because he was concerned that they didn't know for a fact that Elul was chaser. They always presumed Elul was chaser, but since he didn't know for a fact that Elul was chaser, he was always choshesh, he was always concerned that maybe Elul was mole, and therefore the day that he was holding as Yom Kippur really was the 9th day of Tishrei, and therefore every day that everybody else was holding was the 11th day of Tishrei, was really Yom Kippur. So Rava had a personal chumra that he always held 2 days of Yom Kippur. Havi Rogel to Havi Yosef B'Tanisa Trei Yomei. He always held 2 days of Yom Kippur because of the concern that maybe this would be an unusual year that Elul was going to be Male, and in fact, Yom Kippur would be a day later. So everybody else had the halachic right to hold that Elul would be Choser, and therefore Yom Kippur would be the 10th of the month based upon Elul being Choser. But Rava had a personal chumrah that not only did he hold the 10th day of the month that they held if Elul was chaser would be the 10th day of the month, but in case Elul was male, so what everybody else considered the 11th day of the month would really be the 10th day of the month, so he held both days of Yom Kippur. And in fact, Rava did the right thing for himself because Zimna Chada Ishtakach Kavase. One time in his life, it turned out that they actually had to make Elul Male for whatever the reason, and therefore he was the only one that held Yom Kippur on the right day. Everybody else held Yom Kippur on the wrong day. They all held Yom Kippur on what really was the 9th of Tishrei rather than the 10th of Tishrei. Because of Rav's personal chumrah, he got it right even in that one unusual year. Another Maaseh Shehaya. Rav Nachman Yosef B'Taniso Kul Yom D'Kippur. One time Rav Nachman was of course fasting like everybody else on what they considered to be the 10th day of Yom Kippur, and that year they assumed that Elul was Chaser. However, as it was getting close to the end of Yom Kippur, in the stomach they were davening Ne'ilah, Le'urta, Osahau Gavra, in the middle of Ne'ilah, somebody comes into the shul and tells Rav Nachman, Amalei, L'macha Yom Rabba B'marava, that Yom Kippur, the great day, is tomorrow. In fact, they were making the month of Elul Malei, and in fact, what you're considering the 10th day of Tishrei is really the 9th day of Tishrei, and tomorrow is Yom Kippur. So he told this to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman told him, Amalei, Mehecha At, where do you come from? What town do you come from? And the person said to him, Amalei, Mi Dimaharya. I come from a town that's known as Dimaharya. He comes, me, from Dimaharya, this place known as Dimaharya. And Rav Nachman made a funny play on that person's town, and Amalei, he told this person, you know why you come from Dimaharya? Because Dom Tehe Achrita was a play on the word Dimaharya, that means Dom. In other words, I'm going to now fast 2 days, and I'm putting myself at risk. Because you come from this place, Dimaharya, you so to say cause blood to follow after you. As Rashi says, Hareini Meis Ayodcha, I'm going to die because of you. You're forcing me to go and fast 2 days and 2 nights, and dom te achrito, and that will lead to my undoing. And this dimaharya is nutrikon shel dimaharya. In other words, you came a little bit faster. If you had only come a little bit later, then I would have already broken my fast. It would have been after Ne'ilu when you came. Okay, then I can easily start fasting again. Nish keferluch, once I break my fasting, I'll fast another day. But here I have to do 48 hours straight of fasting. That's a little bit dangerous. Mara says, Shalach le Rav Huna bar Ravin le Rava. Rav Huna bar Ravin sent the following to Rava. Kad chazis dimoshcha tekufas teves ad shisar b'nison. If you see that the season known as Tekufas Teves, this is the winter months, this is the quarter of the year known as winter, called Tekufas Teves, based upon the solar calendar, and you see that it's lasting, this solar season of winter is lasting ad Shisar v'Nisan, until the 16th day of Nisan, that doesn't fulfill the requirement that Pesach should be B'chag Ha'aviv. And therefore, Abroi Lahai Shaita, add an extra Adar in that year, so therefore Nisan will definitely come out in the spring instead of Nisan and Pesach coming out still in the winter. And don't be concerned, v'lo tachushla, don't be worried that people are going to be upset with you. How come you're doing this? Why did you add a Nibar Yar this year? Because you're doing it based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, Shamar is Chodesh Aviv, v'yosisa Pesach, l'Hashem Elokecha, that Pesach has to come out in the Chodesh Aviv. And Chodesh Aviv means that it has to no longer be winter. Shehei b'chodesh Nisan, it has to be in the month of Nisan, but it has to be in the month of Nisan that is not in winter. So if you see that winter is extending to what would be Pesach that year, so that's the reason that you should go make a leap year. That's what Rav Huna bar Ravin sent to Rava. Rashi points out that it was only one day off, so then they could have just made the month of Adar to be Malei instead of it being Chaser. And this way you'd also accomplish having Pesach come out in the spring season, because if it had been on the 15th day, so by making Adar Malei, so then what previously would have been the 15th day, now would be the 14th day. So winter would end on the 14th day, and therefore Pesach would be in the spring on the 15th day. But if it's going to turn out to be on the 16th day, so just making Adar Malei would only subtract one day, and winter still would be on the 15th day of Nisan when Pesach occurs. So therefore, when it's going to turn out that winter is still on the 16th day of Nisan, as we just said, so then you can't just change everything and fix everything by making other male, but in that situation you have to make an Ibur Yar, you have to go and make an extra month of Adar. That's what Rav Huna bar Ravin sent to Rava. Now the Gemara has one more halacha. Amalu Rav Nachman lahanu nechose yama. Rav Nachman told the sailors, those that go out into the ocean, where they don't have calendars and they don't have all sorts of normal devices to go and figure out when Pesach should be. So he says, Atun, you guys, you sailors, delo yaditu bikviya diyacha. You don't know when they're going to establish that Rosh Chodesh was. So there's no way for you to know other than by looking up at the stars. So ki chazitu sihara, when you see that the moon is mashlim liyoma, when the moon is still shining at the end of the night, which means at the beginning of the day. In other words, when the moon is still shining at the time that the sun is rising, ba'iru chamira, then you can know for certain that you're dealing with the time that you have to go and burn your chametz. The Gemara says, wait a second, emas mashlim, when does this happen? When does the moon still continue to be visible all the night up until sunrise? That's normally b'chameser, on the 15th day of the month. But wait a second, Pesach, on the 15th day of the month, you're also not allowed to have chametz already from the 14th day in the afternoon. But we burn the chametz on the morning, late morning of the 14th, because midaraisa, after chatzos, it's allowed to have chametz in your possession, and after nightfall, it's an issa daraisa of kares to have chametz in your possession. So how does this help us that Rav Nachman told the sailors that they're in the middle of the ocean and they don't know any details, but as long as they see that the moon is shining at the very beginning of the day, i.e. when it's the sun is rising, so it was out there at night, then that's when you know it's the 15th of the month and burn your chametz. That's too late. So Gemara says, no, in the middle of the ocean, it's different. Lididhu, for the sailors, the migaluluhu oma, nothing is blocking them. There are no tall buildings, there's no other lights, there's nothing else that's preventing them from actually seeing the astronomical bodies exactly where they are. So then you actually can see this on the Arbeisa Mashlam. You can actually see the moon will still be shining even at the end of the night, right before the sun's rising. You'll see that even on the 14th day. So once you see that, that's the start of the 14th day. So make sure in the morning that you burn your chametz. So therefore, for you out in the middle of the ocean, the astronomical bodies are a little bit different than for us on the land with the mountains and all the lights and the things that are blocking us from seeing the moon so clearly, whereas you in the ocean can see the moon clearly. And therefore, when you see that, you can tell for certain that it's the 14th day of Nisan and you better get ready to burn your chametz that day. We turn to Chof Aleph Amud Beis and start the next Mishnah. This Mishnah we've already learned in yesterday's Shir and 2 days ago Shir, so it's a good chance for Chazara. And the Mishnah tells us, Al Shnei Chadoshim Mechalin Etz HaShabbos. There are 2 months of the year that the witnesses are allowed to go and travel on Shabbos to the Beis Din and let them know that they saw the new moon. Which 2 months? So we've already said many times, Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei, and the reason for that is, Shebehen Shluchim Yotzin L'Suya U'Behem Misaknin Etz HaMuados. Because the Beis Din is going to, based upon the Shluchim telling us when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is and Rosh Chodesh Tishri is, so that's going to determine when Pesach is, and that's going to determine when Sukkot is. And the Beis Din has to go and send out the messengers to let the Gola know, to let Surya know. And therefore, that will be Ubahem Misaknin Etz HaMoados, that will tell the people when Pesach is and when Sukkot is. So therefore, the witnesses are allowed to go be Mechal Shabbos for those 2 months so that the people in Golis will know the right time for Pesach and for Sukkot. Now this was post-Beis HaMikdash destruction, Nebuch. Ukishoi, Beis HaMikdash Kayim, but when the Beis HaMikdash was around, and therefore they had to bring the special korban for Rosh Chodesh, so then, Mechalin Afal Kulam, then the witnesses are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos just to come to the Beis HaMikdash to let the Beis to know that they saw the new moon because they needed to bring the proper korbanos. And the korbanos are Docha Shabbos. To bring the proper korbanos and a time-dependent korbanos, they're Docha Shabbos. So the witnesses will be allowed to travel, even on Shabbos, be, quote, Mechalu Shabbos, in order to let the Beis to know that they saw the new moon, and Beis Din could declare that next day is Rosh Chodesh, and bring the Rosh Chodesh korbanos, the korban musaf, that we brought on Rosh Chodesh. So this was not only for Nisan and Tishrei, this was for every single month of the year. And the reason for this was, again, as I said, Mipnei Takonos HaKorban, because of the requirement to go and bring the proper korban on Rosh Chodesh, the korban musaf that is required for that day. Now, Gemara starts off and says, Al Shnei Chadoshim V'Sulo, our Mishnah seems to imply that they only sent out witnesses to let people know in the Gola when Rosh Chodesh was, just for Pesach in the month of Nisan, and just for Sukkot in the month of Tishrei. But wait a second, we had learned previously, Uriminu, we had in the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Yud Ches, that we said that there were 6 months, Al Shisha Chadoshim, Hashluchim Yotzim. The messengers sent out, in addition to Nisan and Tishrei for Pesach and Sukkot respectively. They sent them out in Av, they sent them out in Elul, they sent them out in Kislev for Chanukah and in Adar for Purim. So there's 6 months that they send the Shluchim out. Why are you telling me over here in our Mishnah only 2 months? So my Abaye says, this is what our Mishnah is meaning to tell us. Al-Kula and Shluchim Yotzi Mi Ba'erev. For all of these other months when they sent out the Shluchim, it was enough to say, witnesses came, and we're pretty certain that Beis Din is going to go and declare this Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. And therefore, we can already start the Shluchim going, because we're pretty certain it's going to happen. However, Al Nisan Ve'al Tishrei, where it's not enough to say we're pretty certain that the Beis Din will declare Rosh Chodesh, but here, the Shluchim are not allowed to go out, Ad Sheyishmu Mipi Beis Din, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. They're not allowed to go out until they actually hear the Beis Din declare, yes, it is Rosh Chodesh. And only then can you go out, because we want to make sure 1,000% that Nisan for Pesach and Tishrei for Sukkot are 100% correct. Don't make any presumptions. Well, Mistama, these witnesses came and they're going to declare Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. No. That's fine for Chanukah, that's fine for Purim, where there's no Issa Deraisa, no Issa Melacha. But here, there would be a tremendous takala if, in fact, it wasn't declared to be Rosh Chodesh, if for some reason the Beis Din did not declare it, so therefore the Shluchim can only go out when they absolutely have heard that Beis Din has declared it Rosh Chodesh for both Nisan and Tishrei. The Gemara now says, Tani Namiyach, we have a Braisa that supports exactly what we just said. Al-Kul and Yotzi Mi Ba'erev, normally the Shluchim, once the Beis Din accepts witnesses and the witnesses come, so then you're pretty certain that Beis Din is going to accept the witnesses and declare Rosh Chodesh tomorrow morning. So Al Kulan Yotzi Mi Ba'erev. So most of the time for the other months other than Nisan and Tishrei, the messengers declaring Rosh Chodesh can already go out, even though Beis Din hasn't formally declared it to be Rosh Chodesh. However, Al Nisan and Al Tishrei, for Nisan and Tishrei, the witnesses have to be accepted, and Beis Din has to paskin Ashiyishmu Pi Beis Din Mekudesh, 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 until Beis Din says, yes, this is Rosh Chodesh, and only then, for Nisan and Tishrei, can the Shluchim go out. So, the difference is, for the other months, the Shluchim go out already in the nighttime, but for Nisan and Tishrei, the Shluchim can only out in the morning, when Beis Din meets, and it's Koveya, this is Rosh Chodesh. Tana Rabbanu, we have another braisa that tells us, Mipnei Shemechalin Nalein Es HaShabbos. How do we know that the witnesses are allowed to come and be Mechalu Shabbos, to go and travel to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Din HaGadol, and tell him we saw the new moon? Where do we know that they're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos? Because we have a pasuk, the famous pasuk, Talmud Lomar. Now, the Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk. We'll quote the whole pasuk. Eile Mordei Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh. Here we don't have Mikroi Kodesh. Asher Tikru Osam Mimuadam. Again, I'm never sure why sometimes the editors left out some words in the pasuk. Mistam, it's just an editor's mistake. In any event, this is the whole pasuk, and this pasuk tells us, Yochol kishem shemechalin ashiyis kachu, kach mechalin ashiyis kaimu. You might have thought that the witnesses are allowed to come because the pasuk says that you have to declare them b'moadam. You have to declare them at the right time. And it means that even if it's Shabbos, you have to go and declare it. So I might have thought, Yochol kishem shemechalin ashiyis kachu, kach mechalin ashiyis kaimu. Since we allow them to come and desecrate Shabbos to be mechalu Shabbos on their way in to testify, and once Beis Din accepts them, and we send out Shluchim, I might have thought that the Shluchim can also go and be Mechalel Shabbos, because the people need to know. So just like the witnesses can come on Shabbos and be Mechalel Shabbos to let the Beis Din know, so the people will know, so I might have thought that the Shluchim, to announce that Beis Din was Mekadesh Dechodesh, can also travel on Shabbos. Kach Mechalel, not Shiz Kaimu. They'd be allowed to go and be Mechalel Shabbos until everybody knows. Talmud Lomer, therefore the Pasuk says, only Eilem Oad Hashem, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam. Only the ones that Beis Din declares al kriyasam atom chalo. However, viatom chalo al kiyumat. It's only declaring Rosh Chodesh, but not disseminating the information about Rosh Chodesh. And that's the pasuk over Elim Ode Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh Asher Tikru Osam B'moadam. It's only the kriya, the tikru osam, that you can be mechalel Shabbos for, but not the dissemination of the information. Viatom mechalel al kiyumam, to let the people know. Finally, we quote the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Ukishoy Beis Hamikdash Kaim." During the times when the Beis Hamikdash was around, Beher Yemenu should be rebuilt. Mechalin Af Al Kulan. Then there were Mechal Shabbos. The witnesses would come to Mechal Shabbos for every single Rosh Chodesh because Mitnei Tekhonas Karbon, so they would know to bring the right carbon. Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa supports this and says, "Barishon Ohi Mechalin Af Al Kulan." The Brisa tells us that this, as our Mishnah said, was the custom that there would be Mechal Shabbos for all of the months. However, that was during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash Nebuch was destroyed. So, Amalehen, Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh. Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh said, to all the other Rabbanim, and he said, "V'chiyesh karben nebuch, do we need to have the witnesses come to be mechal Shabbos to bring the carbon of Rosh Chodesh? Nebuch, we don't have a Mizbeach. Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. What purpose is it for them to come? Because we don't need to know exactly that it's Rosh Chodesh, because there is nebuch, no carbon to bring." And therefore, Rav Yochanan Zakkai was mesaki many things, and this is another one of the takonos Rav Yochanan Zakkai made, "Hiskinu shelo yu mechalim el al nisan v'al tishrei bavad." Since Nisan and Tishrei, they needed to let the people know when Pesach and Sukkot are, that's still, even without the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch, is still very important to know. Nevertheless, in this situation, where there is no absolute necessity to know for the people when Rosh Chodesh was, so therefore, if the Edom don't come exactly on time, it's Nishke Ferloch, and therefore, the rabbis who Masakin don't let them do what they're technically allowed to do Midaraisa. Technically, to be Mekadesh to Chodesh, the witnesses could be Mechal Shabbos, but since there's no real point, because Nebuch, there is no carbon Musaf to be brought, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the rabbis who Masakin, with the exception of Tishrei and Nisan, that the witnesses no longer could be Mechal Shabbos, because there would be no Nafkamina in doing so, so why should they be Mechal Shabbos? That brings us to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Bein Shenira Ba'alil, Bein Shelo Nira Ba'alil, whether the moon was clearly visible to everybody. Ba'alil, Rashi tells us, in Tehillim, he says, it's Ba'alil means a Loshum Giluyhu. It is clear, it's revealed to everybody. And similarly, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it tells us, B'mefursim, it's known by everybody. And in the Gemara in Shabbos, Rashi says, it means begilui l'kol, it means everybody's aware of it. And he says, v'yesh l'das shirao beistin v'akrovim lehen v'in tzorich l'roin chutz l'tchum l'chal Shabbos. And therefore, you might have thought, and that's what we'll see is a machlokas over here, if it's so clear and visible to everybody, so the people that are close to Yerushalayim that don't have to be Mechal Shabbos are mistama going to come. So you might have thought that the people that are further away that would need to be Mechal Shabbos don't have to come in that situation. So therefore, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says, whether it's clearly visible and you can assume for certain that somebody close to Yerushalayim who wouldn't have to be Mechal Shabbos is going to come and testify, or Bein Shelo Nira Ba'alil, it's not so clear. And therefore, the person who manages to see it says, it's really cloudy, but I got a glimpse of it, and I'm going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, so that's why I should go. But it's a clear night, then I wouldn't go. So therefore, nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us, Mechalim Olas HaShabbos. The Tanakhama says that no matter what, you, if you saw the new moon, are allowed to travel on Shabbos to go and testify to the Beis Din. Mechal in Lovas HaShabbos, even though you think there's an excellent chance that many other people will come that will not have to be Mechal Shabbos. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Yossi Omer, no. Im Nira Ba'olil, if it's so clearly visible in the sky that somebody can absolutely say with certainty there are people very, very close to the Beis Din that don't have to be Mechal Shabbos, they will see this new moon, it's so clear in the sky, I don't have to go and travel and be Mechal Shabbos. So therefore, Rav Yossi says, that taka right. Im Nir Ba'olav, it's so clearly visible in the sky, a Mechal Olas HaShabbos. The people that are coming from far away that would have to be Mechal Shabbos shouldn't come. They can presume, halachically, that somebody close that won't need to be Mechal Shabbos is going to the Beis Din. And the Gemara tells us, Maisa, there once was such a situation, She'avru Yosir Me'abon Zug, there were more than 40 pairs of witnesses that had come, and they were all going to be Mechal Shabbos. The moon was so clearly visible, so therefore, V'ikvam Rabbi Akiva Balud, Rabbi Akiva told them, listen, stop here, don't continue traveling on Shabbos, because Mistama, there will be witnesses that are much closer that don't need to be Mechal Shabbos, that are going to tell the Beis Din that they saw the new moon. So this was a Maisa Shaya, and Rabbi Akiva actually stopped them. However, Rabbi Gamliel was not happy with this. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Akiva, "Im ma'akev atos rabim, and im says machshilin osid lavo." You know what's going to happen if you prevent these 40 pairs of witnesses coming now. The next time, you know what they're going to say? Listen, Rabbi Akiva said I shouldn't bother coming. Mistama, a lot of people saw it, but in fact, this time, the next time, there won't be such a clear sky, and maybe there were clouds, and they saw it, and they'll assume that everybody else saw it as well, but that's actually wasn't the case next time, and they'll be the only people that'll see it, but they won't come because they're afraid that Rabbi Akiva's going to turn them around and tell them it's not necessary. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel sent to Rabbi Akiva, if you in fact did what you did, you're going to cause next time there to be a michshol, you're going to cause a stumbling block in front of all of the people, because they're going to presume that mistama, and the next time also everybody saw it, but the next time it won't be so alil, it won't be so clear in the sky, and they should have come. The Gemara starts off and asks us the definition of the word alil. My mashma, where is it? Do you see in the word alil, the high alil means alishna, the megalihu. It means that it's revealed, it means that it's perfectly clear in the sky. That's what we explained from Rashi. So Amar Rabbi Yavoh, Rabbi Yavoh says, because the pasuk tells us, Amar Kro, Imros Hashem, Amaros Taros, this is where Rashi had said this on, that I brought down the Rashi from before. In this pasuk in Tehillim, it tells us that the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are Tahorim, are pure. Kesef Tzaruf Ba'alil La'aretz. Just like the silversmith makes the silver purified in the fire, and it becomes perfectly clear, Aliyah, so too, Mizukok Shiva Soyim. It gets refined so much, it's so purified, like it was sevenfold purified. And therefore, you see that the word Aliyah means very pure, very clear. So that's the source, that the word Aliyah means very clear in the sky. Now, the end of this pasuk said, Mizukok Shivosayim. It will be purified seven times. So, based upon this lashon, we have a machlokes between Rav Ushmul. Rav Ushmul, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar, one of these two great Amoraim, said that this lashon of Mizukok Shivosayim implies that Chamishim Shari Bina Nivru Volam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with 50 levels of Bina. Bina means to be able to maven dover acher, that you can have insight and learn one din from another din. So there's 50 levels of Bina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. V'chula nitla Moshe Rabbeinu. All of them, albeit we'll see all of them but one, all of them were given to Moshe Rabbeinu chaser echad, except for one. That wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'tachsireyu ma'at me'elokim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was missing a little bit me'elokim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, he had 49 of the 50 levels. That's one opinion, either Rav or Shmuel. And we can see similarly from Koheles, where Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech, wrote Koheles, and he says, Bikesh Koheles, Limtso Divrei Chavetz. Koheles wanted to find these Divrei Chavetz, these most desired things. Bikesh Koheles knows Kamosha. What does that mean? That Koheles wanted to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He wanted to know all the 49 levels of Bina that Moshe Rabbeinu was granted. So Yotz Abasko, Abasko came out from Shemayim. Varmelo told Shlomo HaMelech, sorry, the Kosuv Yosher Divrei Emes, the words of Yosher, of straightness, of truth, are the words of Emes, Divrei Emes. But that's only attainable by one person. Because we have the famous pasuk from Devarim that tells us, Lo kam Navi od bi Yisrael kemoshe, that there never was another Navi before or after who was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So Shlomo HaMelech, as bright as you were, Shlomo HaMelech was the smartest person that ever lived, but even he wasn't granted the same level of Bina that Moshe Rabbeinu was. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech asked for, but he wasn't granted it. So this is the pasuk, Mizukok Shivosayim, either Rav or Shmuel darshined it in this way, that the 49 levels of Bina. The Chadamar, the other one that said this drasha, either Rav or Shmuel who said this drasha, the other one said as follows, Banevim lokom b'malachim kam, that amongst the Nevi'im there was nobody as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but amongst the kings, the Malachim, there was somebody as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, as smart as Moshe Rabbeinu, and that would be Shlomo HaMelech, Koheles. And therefore, they have to darshan this pasuk differently. Elamani makayim bikesh Koheles limso divrei chepetz, that Koheles wanted to get this divrei chepetz, this most desired thing. So it means, not that the 49 levels of Bina, that he was given, ela bikesh Koheles lodun dinin shebelev, shelo be'edim, Shlomo Asra, that Shlomo HaMelech was so smart, he was able to figure out what the persons were thinking and what they were really doing, so he wanted to be able to judge, not needing Edim and not needing warning Hasra, he wanted to be able to judge just from his own Chochmah. He could tell exactly what the din should be without needing witnesses or Hasra of any sort. He was so smart, he could fathom what was going on from their lay, from their heart. And therefore, he wanted to do this. That's what it means, Bikesh Koheles Limso Divrei Chavetz, that he could paskin MS even without witnesses. So therefore, Yotzei the Baskol, the voice came out from Shemayim Varmelo and told him, no, sorry, the Kosuv Yosher Divrei Emes. The Pasuk tells us that the only way to get the truth is Api Shnayim Edim Begomer. Even you, Shlomo Melech, as great as you are, can't paskin a din based upon your understanding, but you need Shnayim Edim. Api Shnayim Edim, only because of two Edim, Yomus, can you go put somebody to death, not based upon your superior intellect and your true greatness in understanding. We turn to Chav Beis and Aleph, and we'll finish off till the Mishnah, and we quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Maisa, there once was a Maisa, She'avru Yosef me'arboim zug, there were 40 pairs of witnesses that saw the moon so clearly in the sky, and the Tanakhama said, let him come anyway, but Rabbi Akiva, based upon Rabbi Yossi, said, no, he stopped them in Lud and said, don't be Mechal Shabbos, because there'll be plenty of other witnesses that won't need to be Mechal Shabbos that have gone to the Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we bring down a Braisa. Amar Yehuda, Yehuda said, Chas v'shalom, don't think for a second, Rabbi Akiva, when the Rabbi Akiva didn't follow the Tanakam over here, and Rabbi Akiva was the one that stopped them. In fact, Ela Shezefer Rosha Shogoder Ikvan. It was a person known as Zephyr. He was the head of a place called Goder. He was the one that stopped them from coming to Yerushalayim, and he held them up in Lud. The Shalach Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel sent to him, to this Zephyr, and they removed him from his leadership position of the city of Goder because he did something wrong. He should have followed the halacha that we follow the Tanakama's opinion that says that whether it's clear or not clear, you let the witnesses come in order not to have a takola the next time. Rashi and Ervin tells us this city of Goder was a very, very large city, a very fearsome place, and therefore this was a very important position that this Zephyr had, but he was removed, he was demoted because he didn't follow this halacha that you should let the witnesses come, even if it's very clear. This is a great place to stop. With this, we conclude today's share.